Pastor Nina started last week unpacking this prophetic word that was released to the body of Christ, actually by Cindy Trim. And it was released, somebody had a clip of it on Instagram, and we played that clip because when we heard it, we recognized that it is the word of the Lord. And it is the word not just for the body, but specifically we received it for our house. And so what God has given me to talk about is how do we really tap into that prophetic word? Prophetic words are meant for us to attach our faith to. We want to get excited and have expectation and anticipation around it, but we also want it to be more than a momentary shout. Too often prophetic words come and then, you know, with the music and everything else, and we're like, yeah, but then afterwards, what happens then? So after the shout, after the initial receiving of the word, it is God's intention for us to walk this thing out and for that word to be a reality in our lives. There has to be the proper response to the prophetic word, because prophetic words reveal the intentions, the plans, and the movements of God. Because he said in the word, in the scripture, that he would not do anything without revealing them to his servants, the prophets. So when a prophetic word comes forth, it is a revelation, say revelation, of the movement of God. And so what we heard was 7 years of plenty or 7 years of abundance. And then in that prophetic word, it also talks about the releasing of the Joseph's anointing. When God speaks a word like 7 years of plenty, is to get our attention so we can intentionally focus on the exercising of our faith to receive it. I do not believe that 7 years of plenty or 7 years of abundance will end in 7 years. I believe God specifically wants us to know in these 7 years that there is a promise for abundance, regardless of what the world economic system may be saying. We have to choose who we are going to believe and what report we are going to believe and what words we attach our faith to and receive. Because for months, financial analysts have been talking about a recession. From Amazon, 2 days ago, talked about laying off 10,000 workers in their tech and corporate sector. Carvana is laying off, they said they're going to lay off 8%, which is 1,500 people of their workforce. And that was 2 days ago. And they said this is the second round of layoffs this year. Meta, which is the company that owns Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, and all of that, they said they're going to lay off 11,000 people. Gap said they're laying off 500. Wayfair said 870. So when you hear that and you hear the financial analysts talk about, you know, preparing for the recession, you hear coaches talking about make your business recession proof, or what do you do during a recession? So all of that is clouding the air, but God is speaking something different. People are saying recession based on data, and God is saying abundance based on his promise and covenant. So when we hear a prophetic word like that, it allows us to drown out the noise and hear what God is saying above what man is saying. Because Isaiah 53:1 says, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who has the power of God been revealed to, and who has believed the message? So we must believe the fact that the power of God is flowing and operating. And while other people are saying be recession proof, God is saying we're thriving. And in that prophetic word, it says starting from 2023 up to 2030. But one of the things that I said last week is I believe that prophetic word is for the now. Because too often people hear a prophetic word that has a time stamp on it, and then they put the time stamp on their faith. They say, well, let me start believing for it on January 1, or let me believe for it December 31st. But no, we can believe for it right now. Say right now. Because the minute you hear the word is the minute you can receive the word and start walking out the reality of that word. Isaiah got revelation about Jesus, and he said, by his stripes we are healed. And Jesus hadn't been crucified yet, which is why when Peter says by his stripes, he says we were healed. The kingdom concept is you can draw on a future timestamp moment in your present by faith. The woman did it when she said, when she came to Jesus, and Jesus said, look, my bread is for the children of Israel. And then she said, but look, even dogs get the scraps. She pulled on the grace that was available to Gentiles in advance. You hear what I'm saying? And so right now is the opportunity to pull upon the grace and the anointing for abundance. Say abundance. Because abundance is your covenant right. Say, I have a covenant right for abundance. Shout it again like you really mean it. I'm going to preach this thing to you today. Say, I have a covenant right for abundance. Poverty and lack does not have a right to be a part of your life. I was watching, I want to teach, and I'm going to deliver it how God gave it to me. I was watching this TV show, right? And in the TV show, this young lady was dating this dude. They just started dating. And the dude was rich, so he started buying her all kinds of stuff. And she said, I can't accept this. This is too much. I'm not a gold digger. And he said this. He said, I'm rich, so you're rich. He said, and then he said, if you're expecting me to act like some ordinary dude, it's not going to happen. And when I saw that, I was like, that's us in the kingdom. Because Jesus is rich, we're rich. And if we're expecting Jesus to dial down his wealth and abundance, it ain't going to happen. And as a believer, you should not feel like you have to dial down your right to prosperity, your right to abundance, because of people might say it's excess. Or because people have misinterpreted teachings about the scripture in terms of prosperity. Or it misinterpreted those who taught it. But I'm telling you, I'm not dialing down anything when it comes to me walking out my covenant rights. I refuse to be silent. I refuse to dial back. God is wealthy. He is rich. He lives in abundance. He is the creator of abundance. Abundance is in his makeup. And I can't expect nothing less than abundance in my life because I'm with him. He lives in abundance. I live in abundance. He's rich. I'm rich. Not just hypothetically and theoretically. I'm talking about in every bank account that I have. Because that's my covenant right. When it talked about Jesus becoming poor so we can become rich, he was talking about poor by heaven standards. Because what we depict as three dudes on a camel was actually three different caravans of people bringing wealth to him the moment he was born in the earth. So Deuteronomy 29 and 29 says this. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us. Say me. Say that's me. It says, and our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. So when revelation is given, whether it be through a prophetic word, or through what God tells you personally, is for you to take possession of what's been said. It is not for you to shout about. It is not for you, or just shout about. You should shout about it. But it's not for you to even doubt or question, how is this going to be? It's for you to do the Mary and say, be it unto me according to your word. So can you say that about the 7 years of abundance? Say, be it unto me according to your word. Because what I want you to do is really attach your faith to it, because we cannot think lower than what God is thinking. The scripture says we have the mind of Christ. That whole 1 Corinthians chapter 2 talks about us having the mind of Christ, knowing what the will of God is. God is not a mystery to the believer. God reveals himself to the believer. Those who don't know him, he's mysterious because they don't know him. We have the mind of Christ, and those deep things of God that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, gets revealed to us by Holy Spirit. So you should never say no eye has seen or ears has heard without adding that next part, which is why when Paul wrote that to the Corinthians, he quoted that from the Old Testament, but then added the work of Holy Spirit. Because it's important for you to recognize that, because to step into this Joseph anointing or the mantle of Joseph is what God spoke to me. You have to recognize you have access to wisdom beyond your intelligence, your degree, and beyond the people that surround you. You are able to operate in a superior way of wisdom, a way of thinking, than the people who do not know God. And it's just because of the simple fact that they don't know him. It doesn't make them ignorant. It makes them ignorant of the scripture and the power of God. And what Jesus said, what did Jesus say about that? They error because they don't know the scripture nor the power. But because God reveals the word and operates the power through us, we don't error. Now, Jeremiah 17 says this. I'm going to talk about Joseph in a minute, but I want you to really, really, really catch this. 17 and 7, it says this from New American Standard. Jeremiah 17 and 7. He says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. Not, and this coincides with Mark 11. Have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith, meaning use it the way he uses it, but also the whole basis of your faith has to be in him. Jeremiah is saying, blessed, meaning empowered to prosper, because there's a difference between the blessing and the manifestations of the blessing. When you read Deuteronomy 28, it says all these blessings will come upon you. He's talking about the manifestation of them. But then at the end of him listing the different ways you will see the blessing manifest in your life, he says the Lord will command the blessing upon you. Meaning that those things that you experience will be perpetual and in abundance. So Jeremiah says that blessed, meaning empowered to prosper, is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. So as we step into these 7 years of abundance, which we stepped into last week, we must recognize our trust must be in God. And he must be the source of all of our trust. It's easy to trust God for finances when somebody else is cutting the check. I was sharing this with a group of business owners. I said, look, I walked in faith very, you know, to a great degree when I was a school principal. I used my faith to build the school and turn it around. I never had to be concerned about that deposit hitting my account on the 1st and 15th. But when I had to work for Jesus full time, that's a different exercising of faith, because I'm the one that has to cut my own check and deposit my own check into my own account and tell myself you did a good job. Then I have to sit down and evaluate my own performance. It's a different level of exercising. To step into abundance, there's going to be a different level of exercising your faith than what you've been doing right now. where certain things we took for granted because it seemed to be automatic, there's going to have to be a more intentionality to it and a greater exercising of faith so that you can capitalize on what seemed to be automatic and build upon it to walk in the abundance that God has for you. God has never wanted you to be contained in how you think or in how you live or in how you operate in his gifting. So it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when heat comes, will not fear when heat comes, will not fear when heat comes. So when people talk about a recession, we will not fear because we're blessed. We trust in God. Our trust is God. And it says, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. So during a time where others may be experiencing drought, we will not cease to bear fruit. Now, science would tell you that during this time of year, especially in the Midwest and other areas that are non-tropical, you notice the leaves start to fall by a process called abscission, and which means that the nutrients of water that the tree is pulling from the ground cannot sustain holding life in the branches to the trees. And so to the leaves on the branches, and because of that, the leaves begin to die and they fall off. So you think about that and think about what we just read. It says leaves will be green, meaning there will always be sources of supply coming to you, and there will always be life coming to you. There will always be fruit coming from you. Say abundance. Now, to recognize this abundance, we really want to recognize the life of Joseph and his mantle. A lot of us equate the life of Joseph with all the afflictions. His brothers hated on him, and they tried to kill him. Then he was sold into slavery. Then Potiphar's wife falsely accused him. Then he was in jail. He interpreted dreams and said, "Don't forget about me." Then the dude forgot about him. We equate the life of Joseph with a lot of affliction. But let's equate the life of Joseph with his mantle that talks about the favor of God. Because when we think about the mantle of Joseph, you will see favor everywhere he went. You will see positions of influence everywhere he went. You will see revelation, insight, wisdom, strategy, the fear of the Lord, and unconditional success. The mantle of Joseph, I'm going to say that again. It involves favor, positions of influence, revelation, insight, wisdom, strategy, the fear of the Lord, and unconditional success. That's what's upon us right now. Say, I receive it. Because we see with Joseph, his influence, his stature started locally. And then it expanded nationally and then had an international impact. It started locally when he was in jail. It says that the chief jailer promoted him and nothing happened that wasn't under Joseph's control. So imagine him being a prisoner, but he had more freedom than the other prisoners. Well, actually, it started before then when he was in Potiphar's house, before he went to jail. Because he was a slave, and it said that Potiphar saw that God was with him. I'm telling you, in this season, prophetically, people will be able to see that God is with you. And God is calling us to walk in a greater level of maturity to handle that greater level of influence from what people will see. Too many people see believers acting out of a religion. And they think the church is full of a bunch of religious folks who are judgmental. And then too many people who seen, well, I'll just leave that alone. That's a different message. And so God wants to see, God is going to highlight you in this season as you step into this abundance, because people are going to see that God is with you and everything you do is successful. But the caveat to everything you do and being successful is you have to believe everything I'm doing is successful. Regardless of how it appears to be, success is your portion, your birthright, and the only outcome for you. Period. And don't put a question mark where God just put a what? Don't ask God, is it going to work? No, it is going to work because you told me to do it, and that settles it. Even if it takes longer than I anticipated, it's still working. Now, so Joseph's stature started locally with Potiphar, then with the chief jailer, then it increased to national level when he got influence over all of Egypt for 7 years. Nobody outside of Egypt really knew Joseph or doesn't record it. And then the next 7 years came, all those other nations had to come to Egypt, and who did Pharaoh tell them to go see? Joseph. So just know your increase is that as God is increasing your stature, he's going to continue to grow it to where you have this national anointing that Bishop Garland had talked about. And it's going to expand beyond just being national to international borders. And it starts with us receiving and walking in the influence that God has given us right now and properly stewarding it. So we see that favor upon his life, and regardless of the situation, he was favorable. We see him getting promoted everywhere he goes. So promotion is a part of the mantle of Joseph. Even promotions you think you didn't want, God's going to give it to you anyway, because he needs you in position. Because I believe we have been divinely positioned for this prophetic moment that the earth, where the earth is in crisis, we are the solutionists. But we can't buy into the crisis teaching, the crisis talk, and bring solution at the same time. I'm telling you, some of you might have been like Joseph and said, hook me up, and then somebody didn't hook you up, somebody didn't give you the networking, somebody didn't give you the promotion, you felt like you was overlooked, but God was still curating you and preparing you, and not just preparing you, preparing the conditions for you to step in at the right moment. Because if Joseph would have stepped out when the cupbearer initially talked to him, would Pharaoh have known him? Would Pharaoh have known to call him? And so the cupbearer forgot about him, but that was grace and favor. Because for 2 years, nobody thought about Joseph, and Joseph thought he was forgot about until Pharaoh said, look, I got this dream. I don't know what it means, and nobody can answer the question. The magicians and voodoo people can't answer it. My scientists can't answer it. My experts can't answer it. Who can answer it? And then, boom, all of a sudden, I know a dude, and his name is Joseph. How many people are saying, I know a person? I know somebody and her name is Peaches. Or I know somebody, his name is Kevin. I know somebody, his name is Eric. I know somebody, his name is Kelwin. How many people are talking about you behind your back in a good way? See, sometimes we so worried about haters and people talking about us behind our back. We need to be thinking about those who are loving us and talking about us behind our back because of the favor of God is on your life. Somebody is talking about me right now, and it's good. Say me too. Because I love y'all, and I want y'all to walk in this. I'm telling you. Because we walking in abundance together. Say me too. Hallelujah. Now, but check this. Look at Genesis 41 and 14 really quick. So this Joseph mantle is on us, right? And 7 years of abundance is coming to us, or we walking in it. The abundance will last beyond 7 years for the believer because of our covenant promise. But intentionally, during these 7 years, we have to be very intentional because of what the climate and the culture may be experiencing, and we can't get distracted. And we cannot entertain things that are not in alignment with what God has said. If God didn't say it, don't bring it to me. I'm just saying. And that might be, and some of us need to be that way. And some folks might be like, well, that's rude. No, it's not rude. I'm guarding my ear gates. I'm guarding my heart because I'm walking and exercising faith at a level you might not understand just yet, but you will when you see the manifestation. Because what will happen is they'll wonder how you did it. And now you get to show them God. Because you are the solutionist. Because see, that's what happened with Joseph. It says, then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph. Say somebody's calling my name. That made me think of that old song. Hush, somebody's calling my name. Somebody is calling your name. It says, they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon, and when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came to Pharaoh. Notice this. He shaved and changed his clothes. There were things connected to him that were a part of him that could not go entrance with him to Pharaoh. There are things that you might be connected to, or a part of you, or even in you, that you need to get out. Because they can't go with you when you step in front of these other persons of position that need what you have. Because they need what's in you, you got to make sure what's in you is already pure and holy and undefiled. And doesn't have any what I call unholy mixing from bad teaching or bad experiences. And then he changed his garments. I'm telling you, what is it that you got to take off in this moment so you can embrace the mantle of Joseph? So that when you step into the place where people are asking and putting a demand on the wisdom of God through you, that you're ready. What is it that needs to be taken off? What is it that needs to be severed? What needs to be broken? What connections do I need to just break off for a moment so that I can be ready? Because my name is being called, and I need to step in front of Pharaoh a certain way because he needs the wisdom of God that's been deposited in you, not the other stuff. And then after he changed clothes, he gets in front of Pharaoh. Pharaoh tells him the dream. And then Joseph interprets both dreams, but he didn't stop there. He could have interpreted the dreams and be like, cool, praise God. God is good. But look at how he took the next step, which was key to the next level of Joseph's promotion. He said in Genesis 41, verse 33, he says, now let Pharaoh look for a man discerning and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh take action to appoint overseers in charge of the land, and let him exact a fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt for the 7 years of abundance. Then let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain for food in the cities under Pharaoh's authority, and let them guard it. Let the food become as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which will occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land will not perish during the famine. Now the proposal seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his servants. What did Joseph just do? after he gave the revelation that God gave him, he gave Pharaoh strategy. Now we know, I'm gonna just tell you, that was prophetic strategy. We know Joseph wasn't sitting there thinking about all of that himself in his head in the moment. God gave revelation in the moment, and then following the revelation was what? Strategy. So as people place a demand, as a demand is being placed on you, the revelation, you're going to have to release it, and then you're going to have to kind of, I don't want to say sit there, but you're going to have to be sensitive to hear the strategy that follows the revelation. Remember, things revealed belong to us to take possession. So we take possession of what the revelation entails, and then the strategy gives us the way of executing what God is saying to take full possession of it. You receive that? So, but here's the thing. Even though this impacted Joseph, it wasn't really for Joseph. What's going to be demanded of you might not even be for you. The revelation that God may release to you or is releasing to you and the strategy might not be for you. It is for you to help someone else with. Because after he shared that, then verse 39 says, so Pharaoh said to Joseph, well, let me back up to verse 38. Genesis 41, 38. It says, then Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this? In whom is the divine spirit? You know, that was just his way of trying to articulate that he recognized the spirit of God on Joseph. Don't get offended if somebody who is using a New Age term to try to describe what they see on you, just recognize, okay, they see Jesus, just stick with me, you'll get delivered. That's why I don't get mad when people start talking to me about intuition and, you know, all of that. I'm like, okay, cool. You'll get delivered. Just hang with me long enough. You'll know it's the wisdom of God and not intuition. I don't go by my gut feeling. I go by what the Holy Spirit has said. Because my feeling might lead you wrong. And so he said that, and then he said, since God has informed you of all this, where there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You should be over my house. And according to your command, all my people will do homage. The promotion came after the strategy. And with that promotion, you know, came abundance, came the wealth, the prosperity, the houses, and then he even got a wife out of it. He got married into the royal family by getting Pharaoh's daughter. His status instantly changed, not just after giving the revelation, but giving the strategy. Do you see that? And so as God is causing us to step into this abundance, we have to not only release the revelation, but we have to release the strategy. Because if we withhold the strategy, we could be blocking the promotion that God is giving us. Because promotion comes from God and not man anyway. And God could be setting you up for promotion, and then, but we hold on to the strategy, and then we don't get it, and then we're praying and asking God what happened. And he's probably saying, look, you ain't say everything I told you to say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Expect to receive wisdom, revelation, and strategy. The favor of God is opening doors for you to step into to release the wisdom of God and the strategy. And once you release it, it's going to increase your influence. So here are, I think there are five things. Here are a couple of things that I, as a response to this prophetic word, to walk out this abundance and to receive it. Number one, you got to believe it. Flat out. You can't think it's for everybody else. You can't think, oh, we had a good church service, because we don't have church services anyway. We have gatherings and encounters and experiences with Holy Spirit. We don't do church. We do kingdom. So you can't just say, oh, I had a good time in the presence of the Lord. No. Yeah, we had a good time in the presence of the Lord, but we also going to walk this thing out in the presence of the Lord. And we're going to transform this city, this region, this country, and the nations. So don't be fooled by how things look when you're rebuilding something, because everything looks messy when you're rebuilding. When you knock a building down, it doesn't look neat and clean. And when you work construction, you don't wear your best clothes, because you come out dirty. So don't let how things look in the natural fool you. You got to believe it. The scripture says you got to believe God and he'll establish you. But when you believe his prophets, you will succeed. The second thing is you got to take this word for your now. Hebrews 11:1 says now faith is. Not January 1, my faith is. Not December 31, my faith is. But right now, my faith is the substance of this word that was spoken and the evidence of its reality. Right now. In Ezekiel 12:25, God said this, but what I, the Lord, will speak, what I will, and it shall be fulfilled without delay. He's speaking what he wills, and it's going to be fulfilled without delay. But if you put a pause on it, if you put a delay on it, then it'll be delayed in your life, and you'll be looking up, and why is everybody else walking in it and be wondering why, what happened? See, the way you can celebrate and stay in the cadence of God is to believe the word is for now and not later. Number three. Study the scriptures about abundance. When God speaks about 7 years of abundance, you want to get his definition of what abundance is. Because some of us think abundance is $100,000. Other people think abundance is $500,000 or $1 million. You need to figure out what does God say about abundance. Because our definition has to be his definition. What we say about it has to align with what he said about it. Our perspective on it has to be his perspective on it. Don't lean to your own understanding. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. I'm telling you, and then it goes to this next one. You got to sit with God. Your prayer life has to change. And I'm saying it to me too. Our prayer lives have to change and go to the next level. We cannot say prayer is something we do. Prayer is a lifestyle that we live. We can't just check it off. Oh, I prayed today for 30 minutes. Congratulations. You prayed today for 30 minutes. Did you sit with God and let him talk to you? See, there is an art to sitting and soaking in the presence of God and allowing him to speak to us. And then sometimes, and I'm going to tell you, Jesus did this to me a couple times recently. Sometimes you're sitting and soaking, and he don't say nothing. And you're just sitting and soaking. And your mind is wondering, am I sleepy? Am I tired? Should I get up? But you stay there. Because we chase his presence. We pursue him. Because when you sit and soak, sometimes God is doing something internally in your soul that you don't even know is happening until later. Your spirit is already perfected, so you know that's good. So he's dealing with the soul sometimes. And sometimes he's not even going to talk to you about what he's doing. He's just going to do it while you're just sitting there. He's like, just be still. Just sit right here. Let me get this up out of you. Let me put this up in you. So we have to sit and soak and allow our minds to be transformed and saturated by the presence of God and the maturity of God. Because some people are trying to force themselves to bear the fruit of the Spirit. I used to be one. And then I recognized fruit is a result of intimacy. I can't make myself bear the fruit of the Spirit. I just get intimate with God and it just comes out. So we got to sit with God. We got to take the posture and time to hear him, listen to him, and listen as he shares what our corresponding action will be as he fulfills his word. Every day, we have to listen for revelation, insight, and strategy that will be the catalyst to us walking out abundance. Every day. This is why I have, me personally, I set an appointment with Jesus. I don't talk to anybody or do anything before I've had my meeting with Jesus. And after I meet with Jesus, then we can do some other stuff. Now, the last thing is this, and Pastor Nina said it last week. We must respond with swift obedience, acting swiftly on what he says, because full understanding is not a prerequisite for obedience and faith. Our full understanding is not a prerequisite for our obedience. We must act on what he said, whether we understand it fully or not. Because the swift move of God requires swift obedience to stay in cadence with the move of God. While we're overthinking and thinking through and getting more information and getting more data, Holy Spirit is moving. And we have to keep in step with him. And I'm going to tell you, for those of us who are strategists by design, it is easy to overthink because we're thinking about the 20 different possibilities that we could do and their potential outcomes. And I'm going to tell you from experience, that's how the enemy would try to put you in a state of pause because you don't feel like you can act because you're unsure which way to go because you've thought of all these different scenarios and potential actions as well as the outcomes to those potential actions. But I'm telling you, in this season, there has to be, now I'm not saying be zealous without wisdom, and I'm not saying be reckless, but there has to be a courageous act to a courageousness to act on what he has said after he has told you to go and trust he would direct you as you move. Because our steps are ordered by we don't have to ask God to order our steps because the Bible says our steps are. Joseph's steps were ordered by the Lord. And when people thought they were going to kill him, it was the favor of God that preserved him. When people thought they were getting him out of the way and hurting him, they were setting him up for promotion. Because in everything, God worked it for his good and for their good because they were kept alive because of Joseph. So even the people that tried to harm you, their blessing is connected to you stepping into your assignment. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You receive that?